All right, thanks, Joel, for bringing that this morning. Well, we want to continue through our third week of Advent through our series entitled The Glory of Christmas. And my hope is always, as we journey throughout these weeks, is that we would just slow down and we would take in and we'd get and we'd experience and would not miss the glory of Christmas and the miracle of the incarnation of Jesus. You see, if we aren't careful in the midst of all the busyness and all the gatherings and all the gift-giving or traditions, whatever your traditions are with Christmas, that it's possible. It's really possible to miss out on the glory of it all. As we've journeyed throughout the Christmas story, we get to look at each of the different people. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Mary. Today, we're going to be looking at Joseph. And as we were just reminded of in this as Joseph, Stage Joseph, shared with us this morning, just how God uses the most unlikely of people at times in our lives to be the ones who to work through. And all throughout the story, there are stories of how God does this, how he calls people into action and service for his purposes, for his glory, and for their good. And so, from the very beginning, we know in the Old Testament how he called Abram, who was later called Abraham, to leave his country and go to a place that he wasn't going to tell him where he was supposed to go until he started going there. How he was going to be the father of many nations. And how he was so old and he was thinking, you know, I'm too far in life for this to happen, and yet God used him for that to be the case. Or like whenever God used a cheater and a liar named Jacob to end up being used to be a blessing to the peoples all throughout the earth. Or remember Joseph and how he went through all kinds of hard situations and challenges, and he went through abuse and trafficking and injustice, and eventually how God would give him influence and the opportunity to lead the nation of Israel. And just by his being dependent and faithful and being open to being used in difficult circumstances, how God used him and used him for his glory and for his good. Or how in Exodus, how he worked through a stutterer named Moses, and then in Joshua chapter 2, how God worked through a lady named Rahab, who was a prostitute. Or how God worked through the life of King David, who did some ungodly actions in his life over and over. Isn't that the story about how God works? How God works over and over. And this morning, there is encouragement for all of us in the midst of whatever the circumstances are that we find ourselves in, or wherever we find ourselves, that we would know that we have nothing to fear in the midst of it all. And to know that whatever role God has for us to play, that we can do it. And we can trust him through it all. And so over these weeks, we've been taking a closer look at some of these key players. 2 weeks ago, we were looking at Mary, Jesus' mother. And from the perspective of how she just laid down her life. And she was willing and she surrendered it all and saying, Lord, this is what you have for me to do. Would you have your way? Nothing is impossible with you. And so today we want to look at Joseph and how he responded to God's call upon his life. And so if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 18 through 25. Matthew 1, 18 to 25. And so here's what Matthew writes. He says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, this morning as we turn to your word, Lord, we ask that you would, that we would hear what it is that you have for us this morning. In the midst of all the voices and the things going on in our lives, it's easy to get busy and to miss and just to be quiet enough to hear from you. And this morning, Lord, your voice and always is the one that we need to hear. And so help us to hear. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, as we look at this passage, there's something that's worth noting, and that is that as Matthew is writing this, he is really making a point to show that Jesus is, in his coming, is the Messiah, that he is the fulfillment of the prophecies throughout the Old Testament. And here in this passage, we see that in verse 22 and 23 there, which is a quote from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And it's 22. It's like, this one that Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, spoke of, this is who this is. This is who Jesus is. And he says, and all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And before the angel showed up, Joseph, he isn't aware of what's going on. The context here of this situation is that Joseph is not aware of what it is going on truly and what he's involved with and the role that he's been called to play. And so right here, as we head into this, this situation is not a good situation from Joseph's perspective. Things could not have been worse, maybe, in a sense, the way that he's thinking about, because as it says here in verse 18, Matthew says, this is how the birth of Jesus happened. Jesus' mother was betrothed to Joseph. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about that betrothal process, what that means, and how in that culture, Jewish culture of the day, there was this betrothal process, which was the part of the marriage process where a couple would be betrothed to one another. Maybe your translation says pledged, but there was this formal engagement and commitment to one another, and probably like a year later, after the man would go and to prepare a home and all of that, then finally the marriage would be consummated a year later. But they were formally committed to one another, and for this relationship to come to an end, there would be a divorce that needed to take place. But during this time, they weren't supposed to have any kind of relations with one another. But here, Mary is found to be pregnant. And so from Joseph's perspective, without knowledge of what's going on, this isn't good. You know, he's been away. He's preparing for, you know, their marriage, their life together. And here it's either she is pregnant because of someone else, which he knows must be the case because it hasn't been him who is involved, or else, you know, there has been some kind of activity between them that was not supposed to take place. Can you imagine being in Joseph's shoes in this point? Can you imagine what's going through his mind? This woman who he loves and cares for, this woman who he's preparing for a life with, has shown up and to be pregnant. You know, all the ideas of dreams and things that he was looking forward to, not going to be the same. All that he was working for and preparing for, everything has changed in a moment as she arrives and is found to be pregnant. And now he has some decisions to make, which no one wants to make, and that's where we find Joseph. So what do you do? Have you ever been there? Have you been in those situations? Most likely you have, where the expectations that you had for where life was going to be and how it was going to go, it's just different now. Things haven't panned out the way that you had hoped. The relationships that maybe you thought were going somewhere, they haven't played out like that. Maybe your work, your career hasn't gone the way that you expected. Your family situation, it's different. Maybe it's your finances. All of these things, have you been there where it's just different? I know I have, and I know that I'm sure that you have. And you sit there and you wonder what's going on. Maybe there's anger that you're dealing with. Maybe there is hurt. Maybe there's embarrassment, all kinds of emotions. Maybe even thinking like, what is going on? I don't even know what to do. And here is Joseph. And in verse 19, we begin to find a little bit more about Joseph. What do we know about him? Well, it says, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Joseph is a courageous, he is a compassionate guy, he's a considerate guy. He doesn't give up, as we know the story goes on. He doesn't just throw in the towel. Things are different, but it's not the end, as we're going to see here in a little while. Verse 19 tells us that he's a guy who is just. It means he's upright, he's sincere, he is a righteous guy. He's doing what he can to the best of his abilities to follow the Lord's commands. He's a good guy, and what that meant he wanted to do was he wanted to follow the law. He wanted to do what the right thing was of that day, which meant that he would need to divorce Mary, that she was pregnant, and that he wasn't the father of the child, which meant that there was some kind of sexual immorality going on. And last week we even mentioned about how in that culture the punishment for Mary could be that she could be sentenced to being stoned to death. But not only is he a guy who is just, we're told, but he is also a compassionate guy. While he was working through his options, he had come to the point of deciding he could have done it in a way so as to embarrass and cause shame to Mary even more so, but it tells us that he decides, I'm not going to do that, I'll divorce her in a quiet manner. And so we see that he is a compassionate guy, but he's also a considerate guy as we look at this in verse 20, and he considered these things. He's a thoughtful guy, and as he's thinking about these things, reflecting on what is the right thing to do and how is the right way to do this, behold, an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream at just the right time. And so often, isn't that, and always, isn't that how God works? At just the right time. It's a tough and disappointing situation. It seems like the options, the only options before him, are ones that are no fun at all. And right whenever he thinks there's no hope, what happens? But God steps in. He steps into that situation. And here, as Joseph is considering these things, an angel of the Lord steps in and opens his eyes to the reality of what's going on, to that which he couldn't see was happening before him. From his perspective, what was taking place was a situation that was nothing but disappointing. But in a moment, everything changed. Everything changed. And he was being invited to be a part of the most wonderful news there could ever be. The angel names him by name, Joseph, son of David. He reminds him of the line that he is a part of, and he says, you don't have anything to fear. Don't shrink back from doing something here. And then he gives him a direction as to what he's supposed to do, and he says, I want you to go and take Mary to be your wife. You know, as Joseph was thinking about the options that he had about how he was going to handle the situation before him, this wasn't one of them that he was considering. Because he's a just man, and he was to divorce her for her immorality. But here's another option that he's given to take. And then not only is he told, this is what I want you to do, but here's what's going on, and here's what's really going on. And so I want you to see and hear this as the angel tells him this. He says, you know how, it's like God saying to him, you know how bad and disappointing the situation looks, you know, how you think all your dreams of how life is going to go, how those are all gone and things are different now. You know how you think you've been taken advantage of and how you don't feel like you can maybe trust Mary. Well, let me tell you what's really going on. As bad as you think it is, it's so much better. It's good, and it couldn't be better news. He says, take Mary as your wife, for the baby that she is carrying is from the Holy Spirit. And this baby is going to be a son, and you're going to need to call his name Jesus, which means God saves. And then the angel tells him that the reason that this baby is being born is for what? What does it say there? For he will save people from their sins. He's telling him that this one who Mary is carrying, that this is the Son of God, that it's the long-awaited Messiah. This is the best news ever. They've been waiting and waiting and waiting for this to happen. And a moment before this, things are in just looking bad and bleak and disappointing and frustrating and anger-causing and all of those things because of the situation they're in. And in a moment, this news shows up about, and it's the most hopeful, best news there could ever be that changes everything. Verse 22 and 23, they lay this out as the fulfillment of prophecy, like, hey, remember this, Joseph? This is what was said was going to happen, and it's happening, and you get a front row seat to this, and you get to be a part of this. It's all happening a part of God's, according to God's plan. This situation that it seemed like it was the most disappointing of situations was turning around in the most amazing of ways. God was taking on flesh and coming as a man, just as he had promised by way of a virgin mother. And talk about how perspective can change in a moment. And so what's Joseph do? What's his response? What can he do? And so here we're told that Joseph wakes up and he's obedient. Was it easy? I don't know. It may have been. If you have an angel showing up to you and you are fully confident of it, you're going to do, I'm going to do, I think, what the angel has to say. Was it easy? I'm sure there was plenty of not easy stuff about it. You know, the ridicule, the things that people would say, the things that now he was going to have to go through would not have been easy. But what do we know about Joseph? But he is a courageous guy. He is a guy who wants to be faithful to the Lord. In verse 24, it tells us that when he wakes, here's his response. He does all that the angel of the Lord had told him to do. He takes Mary as his wife. Who knows how close they were to the time whenever Mary was going to deliver? We don't know. But even if they weren't close to the time, it seems as though he goes and he marries her immediately, and he does as instructed. He names the baby boy Jesus. We know that's the case to be. And so look at this guy's character: righteous, upright, compassionate, merciful. He's considerate. And even when taking Mary to be his wife may be one of the most humiliating option before him, he trusts God's word in the midst of an undesirable situation, even when he can't see for certain that all is as it is. He decides the most important thing, and even above his own comfort, even above his own reputation, his desire is to honor the Lord. And so he doesn't shrink back, but rather he steps right into the unknown, and he takes on the role of and the responsibility of loving and caring for and providing for Mary, and doing, and in so doing, continuing to do so and raising this baby named Jesus, who came to save people from their sins. And in just a few more verses, we find that Matthew chapter 2, we're told about how Joseph then moves his family to Egypt to protect Jesus from being killed. And so, really simply, what are some application points for us this morning as we look at Joseph and his response and how God's working in the midst of all of this? What's the encouragement to you and I in the midst of the things that we're facing right now? Well, number one, there's nothing to fear is the encouragement in three ways. First way, there's nothing to fear even in those times when all seems lost. Even whenever everything seems lost, there is nothing to fear. Even in the darkest times, here's the gist of the story. Things couldn't be worse for Joseph in a sense. But even in those situations, God's working miracles. God does the impossible when all seems lost, and we have to know that God is in control. Do you know that? God's in control. All is not lost, and in all actuality, it might all be right along with his plan from the very beginning. And that even when disappointment is great and the future seems dark, to know that that's prime time for our great and gracious God to show up and do amazing miracles that change everything. That's when he shines the brightest. This situation is, in fact, the way that the Savior of the world came to earth. And so don't lose hope. Know that God is there. Know that God is calling you. He's calling each and every single one of us to trust him in the midst of wherever it is we find ourselves in this life. He's calling us to prepare for his coming. He's calling us to provide and to give of ourselves, to be used by him for his glory and our good. And he's calling us to trust him. Will you trust him? Secondly, know that there is nothing to fear. And so because there is nothing to fear, we can walk in obedience and we can do what it is that he is calling us to do. Joseph stepped right into what God was calling him to do, and he did it. He immediately heeded that call to provide for, to protect, to marry Mary. and the protection of his son, yet unborn, and when born, he was obedient because he had nothing to fear. And so what is God calling you to do this Christmas? Is there something that he's calling you to do where you're like, I don't know if I can do that or not, or if I want to do that, can I trust that? He's saying, you can trust me. There is nothing to fear. Is there something that you need to start? Is there something that you need to stop? Is there a change that you need to make? Is there a relationship that needs to be cultivated? Is there a move that needs to be made in some way? You can trust him, but maybe there's something that's holding you back because you're just fearful of it, but you know it's the right thing. What is God calling you to do this Christmas? Know that there is nothing to fear. May we be a people who respond with obedience. Joseph did it, and it impacted the way Jesus was shaped as his earthly father raised him. Are you surrendering yourself to the call of God upon your life, not only for your good, but also for the good of others? Maybe life isn't going as you had hoped. Maybe you're facing disappointment and hardship. Maybe you don't see any light at the end of the tunnel this morning. I want to encourage you, don't give up. Keep trusting the Lord is not always. Keep trusting the Lord because all is not always as it seems, especially when God is in the picture. And lastly, there's nothing to fear, for God is with us. And that's what Christmas is all about, right? If there's one thing that we must know is that our God is faithful, that he loves us, and that he came through his son Jesus Christ to be with us, and that he is with us now. Even through the worst situation, God comes through at just the right time in the right way, and he saves the day. Remember, that's why he came. He came to lay down his life. He came and took on flesh to save us from our sins. Isaiah, he writes this of Jesus. This is why he came. He didn't just come to be a baby. We know that. That's why we're in this room. It's because we believe that he is the Savior of the world who laid down his life and gave his life at the cross so that we might be forgiven of our sins. Here's what he endured for us. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. He's with us. He loves us. There is nothing to fear. Do you hear that? For the one who feels afraid about the future, there's nothing to fear. For the one who feels inadequate to take care of your family like you think you should, there's nothing to fear. For the one who feels like you are in a dead-end job, for the one who feels stretched between taking care of kids and maybe your aging parents, for the one who feels misunderstood, for the one who feels burned unjustly by what's maybe been posted online, for the one who feels in over your head with responsibilities that weren't a part of your plan, know that the situation isn't too far gone. It's not too impossible because nothing's impossible with God. To know that there is nothing to fear because he is here and he is near and he is with you. Remember what the angel of the Lord said to Joseph in this dream. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Don't be afraid. How would you fill in that blank this Christmas season as you think about your life and the responsibilities before you today? How would you fill in that blank? Do not be afraid to what? How would you fill it in? For Joseph, it was, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For you today, what is it? Do not be afraid to this. And because of what we see here and how God was working through Joseph's life in this moment. He's saying, you don't have anything to be afraid of because of this, this, and this. And so in the same manner, what is it that we would fill in that blank with and know that we have nothing to fear? What is God asking you to step towards with faith in him as you trust him and choose not to be afraid? Because there's a whole long line of people who felt like they couldn't do it, who felt like they weren't the ones, right ones for the job, who felt like the unlikely people. But they were obedient and they trusted the Lord, and God did amazing things through them. There's a whole load of line of people who you can identify with you in some way or another, and yet God used them and got great glory as they trusted him each step of the way. So this morning, just very simply, will you trust him? You know, what is that thing that you're going through right now where you just have to trust him? And he's asking you to trust him, and that you have nothing to fear, just to be encouraged in that today. Nothing to fear at all. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. And just in this quiet of this moment, just consider that. How would you answer that? Do not be afraid to what?